Good morning. The March 24th, 2016 public meeting of the Air Resources Board will come to order. Before we begin, I want to say a word, though, about the sound system, because we do have members calling in from locations that were previously noticed. Board members who are calling in on the phones, I would appreciate it if, when you're not speaking, you would mute your phones, because we get the background noise and all of the conversations that you may be having in your office broadcast over the sound system here. So if you can please mute your conversation, except when you want to speak, obviously, then we want to hear from you. Okay. At this point, then, we will resume our normal order of business, which is to begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. So would everyone please rise? Okay. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Balmes?
Here.
Mr. De La Torre?
Here.
Mr. Eisenhut?
Here.
Senator Flores? Supervisor Joya?
Here.
Ms. Mitchell? Mrs. Reardon?
Here.
Supervisor Roberts? Supervisor Serna?
Here.
Dr. Sheriffs? Professor Sperling?
Here.
Ms. Tagforian? Ms. Tagforian? Vice Chair Berg? Chair Nichols?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Can we adjust the sound system so that those who are calling in can be heard more clearly in the room? Okay. We could barely hear. We could hear that it was difficult. Okay, just a couple of opening comments. As was noticed in the public agenda, this board meeting is available by teleconference in El Cerrito, National City, and Redlands, California, and also in Dublin, Ireland, where Mr. De La Torre is currently.
I would have to say that the rest of us wish we were there with him.
But we haven't yet figured out how to extend our jurisdiction quite that far. For today, this is a vote-only matter. We are not taking testimony on this item. But because of the far-flung nature, I am going to be calling for a roll call voice vote to make sure that everyone's recorded. And for those calling in from the remote locations, if when you speak, you would identify yourself also, just so we're sure to get the report correct, that would be much appreciated. Now, for those who are in the auditorium here in Sacramento,
I need to remind you that there are emergency exits at the side and in the back of the room. And in the event of a fire alarm, we're required to evacuate the room immediately and go out of the building until we hear the all clear signal, when we're allowed to return. And I think that is all for general preliminary comments.
So to make sure that
do you repeat that?
Remote location. Also.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry for the interruption. I just want to state for the record that I was not at the March 17th meeting in Southern California. However, I have had an opportunity to review the transcript.
Great. Thank you for that. Okay. So, as I indicated, we're here today to consider the board recommending a site for the proposed new motor vehicle and engine emissions testing and research facility in Southern California, otherwise known as a consolidated site.
And as we indicated when we were together before, and I know all the board members have had an opportunity to spend quite a lot of time getting briefed and thinking about these issues, this is a decision that's going to impact ARB's operations both today and for decades into the future. The staff conducted a thorough evaluation of three sites and determined that two of the sites are suitable for development. These are the Pomona Boulevard and Iowa Pomona Boulevard in Pomona and Riverside, Iowa Avenue sites. And there's a great deal of information that's contained within the staff report, as well as a large volume of supporting documentation regarding the evaluation of those sites. In addition, the board heard testimony last week from a broad range of representatives of both communities and campuses, and also from elected officials, representatives of the universities themselves, city and county personnel, business organizations, our own staff, the union that represents many of our employees, and even a bicycle advocacy group. These commenters presented contrasting views, but they all made compelling cases about where to site the proposed new facility. The ARB's staff's preference for Pomona presents an important factor for us to consider, and it cannot be taken lightly because we all know that the heart and soul of any operation is the people who do the work. But in the end, the decision needs to be made to choose a site that the board members themselves believe provides the greatest benefits to the state while exercising our responsibility to be good stewards of state funds. That said, regardless of the decision that we make today, the board needs to be very active in addressing the concerns of our staff. If the board selects the Riverside site, our challenges to address staff issues will obviously be important and will need to begin right away. While the board is not accepting any public testimony, I want to appreciate the time and energy that people took to come and speak to us last week at our hearing in El Monte, and to assure you that your concerns and your comments have been taken into consideration. I'll let it go with that. I would note that this is just a step in a long process for completing this project. Moving forward with a recommendation from this board certainly brings us closer to making the project more of a reality. And we look forward to continuing to work with the Department of General Services and others on the next phase of this vitally important project for the state and for our mission. So in a moment, I'm going to open this up to my fellow board members, but I do want to take the opportunity to say a few words about my own perspective on this, because I have been thinking about the need for a new facility for Southern California ever since I got back to the Air Resources Board in 2007. And I realized that this is really a tremendous opportunity which we have been afforded to continue to lead our state and our country, and I would say the world, in developing motor vehicle standards, implementing them and enforcing them, as well as in providing state-of-the-art thinking and science to support this mission. So it's a transition that we will be working through. I personally will be voting for the resolution that will be coming forth in a few minutes, but I want to hear from all the board members and to give them an opportunity to speak and make sure that everybody's voice is heard. So I would like to start by recognizing Senator Flores.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be brief. You know, obviously had a great hearing, lots of input. I appreciate the employees of El Monte. There was some very poignant testimony. I thought it was very heartfelt. I think overall I agree with you that as we move in a certain direction today, that we ought to make the staff needs and concerns front and center, so I very much appreciate that, and I believe we ought to move in a direction that continues to be focused on what is the best transition as we move forward. I would also like to say, I don't know if I hear this, on and off. I also like to say that I really would like to thank the cities, both Riverside and Pomona, for their testimony last week. Look forward to hearing other comments from other board members. Okay, is this on? Everybody here? Okay, great. I look forward to hearing from other members of the panel. But however, Madam Chair, I would like to move that the site known as Riverside Site 2 be selected as the location for the Southern California Consolidation Project. I did, Madam Chair. Let me reread that.
Thank you. Whispered to about the sound system. I apologize.
The sound was on and off, so let me say it again. I'd like to move that the site known as Riverside Site 2 be selected as a location for the Southern California Consolidation Project.
Thank you. Do I have a second for that motion?
And I'll second that motion.
Ms. Berg. Okay. We can now open this then for discussion on the motion. And at this point, I think in addition to stating their reasoning or asking questions, it would also be appropriate for board members to articulate instructions that they would like to make sure that the staff hear from us moving forward with the site, because it's clear that there's a lot of work left to be done, a lot of interest on the part of the board in watching this project as it goes forward to make sure that commitments that were made at the front end are followed through on by our partners in the process. And so I think we can have both of those elements under discussion, and I think I'll start by recognizing Dr. Sperling.
So it is a really tough decision, and clearly I've seen the Riverside site. I've heard others that have seen the Pomona, that in many ways the sites are comparable, or not comparable, but equally attractive. And it's really impressive what both campuses have done in providing, really good spaces near the campuses, near areas that are very attractive. When I look at it, I say, okay, what is good is to kind of play off of what Chairwoman Nichols just said. What's good for ARB? What's good for the state? What's good for the country? And even the world. We've seen how important ARB is, for instance, with the VW issue. And of course, many of the things we do are OBD work, and a lot of other technical work that's been done really is instrumental internationally as well. So when I look at it, I see that kind of in the most conservative case, the two campuses are roughly, comparable. There's the downside of the Riverside would be a little more problematic, would be more problematic for staff. On the other hand, UC Riverside provides a lot of opportunities to really meet that goal, that mission of providing high value to ARB, the state, and the country. But then the more I think about it, and the more I've talked to people, is I just see the potential, the upside potential is so huge at Riverside. There's so many opportunities to really enhance the ARB labs and ARB. And it'll take work on both sides, both the Riverside campus and ARB, to really realize those upside potentials. But to me, they're large. I believe that those upside potentials will be realized, because when I talk to the Riverside campus, the community, the leaders there, over and over again, I hear about all the things that they plan to and could do. everything from extension programs for workers, internship programs, hiring new faculty, tailoring their research programs more. And the Riverside is attractive to me because Riverside is kind of like the ideal campus to be associated with, in the sense that it's not like Caltech that already has its reputation, its high quality research. It's not like UCLA, which is a big, huge campus. Riverside is a growing campus. It already has a focus on environment, but it's really expanding. And there's a real opportunity there to create really strong synergies. And so that's what's compelling to me. And you look through the statistics, you know, how much research, obviously UC Riverside is far superior as a research campus, but it goes well beyond that. So I've actually, the more I've thought about it, the more I talk to, when I talk to even the university leaders at Pomona, they don't come forward with a lot of these ideas about how to create these synergies with ARB. And you talk to Riverside, and they do. It comes just flowing out of them, everyone you talk to there, how to set up these different programs, how to create these synergies, working with the staff, work in terms of training, in terms of creating a pipeline of employees that are targeted for Riverside, for the ARB labs. So at the end of the day, we're putting something in place here for many, many decades, and something that's really very important to all of us. And so at the end of the day, I've come to feel strongly that Riverside is not only a better choice, a far better choice. And I understand it's going to be a difficult transition. We do want to worry about the morale of the staff and how to transition. But this is a long-term thing, and I think we need to be thinking about that in terms of the greater benefits.
Thank you. I'd like to go to the phone so we don't leave them dangling till the last, and I'll try to do this in alphabetical order if I can. So I'll start with John Balmes, Dr. Balmes.
Hi, Chair Nichols. So I won't be long. I think I outlined a framework for my decision making at the board meeting last week. I agree that both universities have made presented very compelling cases. It's a difficult decision, and I have to say that scientifically, the potential synergies with the Riverside atmospheric chemistry and environmental engineering groups with our own laboratory, that potential synergy is really great. And going through the points that the staff had in their presentation last week to try to create a world-class facility, I would say maintain a world-class facility, because I think we already have that, and push it to even greater heights, and to have an international impact, national and international impact, and to do the best for the state of California that we can, that the Riverside location looks somewhat better than the very good Cal Poly Pomona site. That said, I'm very mindful of the impact on staff. So it's like I said last week, it's a hard decision for me, because we already have a world-class laboratory, and the Cal Poly proposal is not a bad one. I just think that for the long term, the investment in the Riverside location provides more bang for the buck. And I think as stewards, good stewards of California taxpayer dollars, that it's the better investment.
Okay, thank you.
I just would also say we really have to work hard to try to mitigate the negative impact on staff from a move to Riverside. So I'm supportive of whatever we can do to provide help to the staff.
So before we leave here this morning, I do want to have a discussion with Mr. Corey about some of the specifics of what the staff will be working on going forward here. But I also feel a need to, before I go to Mr. De La Torre, just to make one point, because when we talk about synergies, I want to be clear to everyone, our staff, our stakeholders, the public, that we are not becoming a unit of either campus. We are going to be receiving free land to build a freestanding laboratory. And there are opportunities for synergy, and they are certainly important to consider. But I think it's also important to understand and to reiterate that Air Resources Board is not giving up its independence or its authority. This is going to be a laboratory that's going to be created and operated by the Air Resources Board to support our mission. So it's a great advantage, not only because we've been given the opportunity to do this with free land, but also to consider ways in which we can enhance and expand our work and our access to research and to students and faculty and so forth. But there shouldn't be any confusion that we're somehow becoming an arm of the university. And with that, I will go to Mr. De La Torre.
Thank you. I said a lot last week, and I have a little bit more to say today. I think that staff, and again, it's not just our staff, it's DGS and others who worked on this recommendation, based it on knowable facts. And based on those knowable facts, made a recommendation. I appreciate the comments that have been made so far by my colleagues, but many of those things that have been cited are future hypotheticals, not known facts. They are parts of a pitch that was made to us to have this facility located at one or the other place. And so, yes, maybe one of the two campuses is better at their pitch than the other. We're not here to buy a car or a house. We're not dealing with a real estate broker or a car salesman. We are dealing with analysis from our own staff of which would be the better location for our employees. And I think the recommendation speaks for itself that we should go with Cal Poly Pomona. So what are some of the facts that we know? We know that significant numbers of our staff, over 80%, are going to have to drive further to get to Riverside. So that is increased emissions, that is increased greenhouse gases, and that is increased increased cost for the movement of those employees if they decide to move out there. That's not a hypothetical, that's not a maybe, that's not possible synergies, that's real. We're going to have to figure out significant issues with that, with each of those points. One thing that we learned last week is, in addition to the relocation costs, our employees have bumping rights because of the distance, the additional distance that they are going to have to move. They will now have bumping rights at all state agencies in the Los Angeles area to move and leave CARB because if there's another opportunity in another agency that they can go work in, they will have better quality of life because they won't have to commute as far. That's significant. That's real. That's tangible. In terms of diversity, last week we had the presentations, and there was I think a few people spoke about the diversity in Riverside. Well, Pomona's economic and ethnic diversity is every bit as much as Riverside. There's not very much difference at all there. We're not talking about Beverly Hills versus Riverside. We're talking about Pomona versus Riverside. So there's no tangible difference there. And I think we kind of oversold what we were offering. Maybe it was to get that really good deal from one of these universities way back in the beginning when this proposal was put together. But this is, and will continue to be, fundamentally a vehicle lab. 66% of our employees at the Hagenschmidt Laboratory are directly involved in motor vehicle testing. Another 13% are not involved in the testing, but are directly involved in the data analysis from the vehicle testing. That's 79% of the employees who are doing direct vehicle testing work. Another 12% are doing enforcement, and 9% are doing general admin work. There are no non-vehicle related researchers at the Hagenschmidt Laboratory. Let me repeat that. There are no non-vehicle laboratory workers or research workers at El Monte. That's a fact. That's real. That's what this lab is. I understand about all of these potential research possibilities, but we have those no matter where it is located, because we have those today. We already farm out all of this wonderful research to these fantastic universities we have in the state of California. And as I pointed out, as the employees who came up and spoke last week pointed out, in terms of how many Cal Poly graduates we have already working for us, just in the lab, we have about 50 Cal Poly Pomona employees. They are already producing the kind of workers that we use, not the ones we'd like to use, not the ones that we potentially could use in the future, 20, 30 years down the road, the ones we already use. That's not going to change. So as I look at this, I appreciate my colleagues being inspired by the possibilities, but we have an obligation to the realities. And the realities are that this is a vehicle lab. It's been in an industrial park in El Monte for decades. And it's going to be in a better place with better possibilities attached to a university in the great state of California, regardless of which we choose. It will be a step up. I believe that fundamentally what this has turned into is a bias toward UC and against the Cal State, and in this case, a Cal Poly campus, which is no regular Cal State campus. I think that we have a recommendation from our staff that tells us which is the better, not the best, the better, most cost-effective choice. And we know, as I said last week, 85% of our employees want to move to Pomona. And as I pointed out just right now, the facts are very clear about what this lab is. Unless we are going to completely restructure CARB to move significant portions of what we do from Sacramento down to Riverside, and maybe we should have that conversation, then we are talking about two different things. We should be talking about this lab moving to the best place for what it does in these next few years. Because in the long term, everything can change. So by making references to things 20, 30 years down the road, none of us knows. I'm not going to be on this board. Chances are no one of us is going to be on this board. Therefore, we should stick with what we know. We should stick with the recommendation that's before us, and we should keep faith with our employees who have made their views clear on something that's not outrageous. All they are asking for us to do is to follow staff's recommendation to us of which is the better site, and that is Cal Poly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hector, and thank you for all the time that you put in during the earlier stages of this process where we were out visiting the campuses and meeting with faculty and students, et cetera, as well as your work with the staff. I would like to hear next, I guess I'm going to trying to be in alphabetical order here, to Mr. Eisenhut.
Thank you, Chair Nichols. I raised in last week a question regarding the impact of the site on the potential effectiveness of folks doing their job, specifically with regard to enforcement division. And since I raised the issue and had a chance to become more informed in some of the details, the work that the staff had done, quote back the results of that conversation, that impact would accrue specifically on enforcement folks, about half of whom already work remotely, either from their homes or from a remote location, and their interaction with the lab is static. There are half a dozen, approximately, folks whose daily task includes sampling of fuels and return of those samples back to the lab. Judged that given the traffic complexities that already exist, pooling of those samples and so the impact operationally, not the term that the staff used, but I would say it's a manageable impact and has a pretty limited impact on, in terms of the number of employees whose daily tasks. So I wanted to share that information. I am decision process. I have a committee, and I haven't heard yet from Barbara, but assuming that she is consistent, last week the recommendation of the committee is bifurcated. We have a staff recommendation, which is clear, and I disagree with and Hector. Our responsibility to study and honor that recommendation, but not necessarily to adopt it. The adoption is our responsibility. Having said that, variety of reasons, and I think best just articulated by
okay. We will now hear from Mary, sorry.
We didn't hear the end of John's testimony or his comments.
Oh, John, do you want to repeat what you said?
Oop, did I pull away from the mic? I'm sorry that I am in opposition to the motion.
Make sure you stay close to the mic.
Opposition to the motion. Sorry, I had to say that three times.
Okay, we heard you. I think we heard you now. I think actually I was going to call on you next, Supervisor Joya.
thank you. And first, let me start by again acknowledging the really heartfelt testimony by the supporters of both Pomona and Riverside. It's clear to me that those communities really think highly of their advantages and the benefits that they would offer to ARB's consolidation efforts, and I appreciate that. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to also say that it is a difficult decision. I think there's some short-term, medium-term, and long-term issues here at stake. So my final analysis is to think about the long-term implications of the decision, and in that regard, I essentially agree with the comments that have been made by my colleagues who agree with the selection of Riverside. So I will state it that way because I don't want to repeat the comments that they made. And saying that there really needs to be, I think, a lot of work with employees to understand their needs as this goes forward so we could assist them and maintain the high-quality employees that we've had.
Thank you very much. I think it's, excuse me? I'm skipping over the maker and seconder of the motion for the moment, and I will turn now to Mrs. Reardon.
Oh, thank you very much. I have continued and thought about what I heard from the speakers of our last meeting, as well as my opportunities to be able to visit both sites and to hear very personal pleas to locate in either Pomona or Riverside. But as I had said at our last meeting, I feel that the opportunities that are in Riverside for the future, the long-term future of our operation, of our laboratory, clearly, in my opinion, Riverside is the site that I would support. And so, Madam Chair, I would support the motion that is on the floor. And having said that, would recognize clearly that the responsibility for mitigating some of the impact of that choice for our current staff will be our responsibility, and I will pledge myself to do that, along, I'm sure, with everyone else that is supporting this particular motion. And so with that, I will conclude.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Serna.
Thank you, Chair Nichols. So as I stated earlier, I did not have an opportunity to attend in person the hearing last week in El Monte. So I want to preface my comments with the fact that I did do my best to glean from the transcript some of the nuance creation of this important decision as it was discussed then, and I certainly have had an opportunity to be briefed by staff even on the latest developments. I guess I would start from a place of reflecting on the fact that we have an extraordinary army of staff here that do incredible work on all the subjects that come before this board. And do very, very detailed analysis to make sure that we are making the most informed decisions we can. And this is no different for me. I guess what I'm struggling with is I'm hearing from the maker of the motion and the seconder and those that are supportive thus far, and I understand some of the rationale that they've explained here today. And again, I've been able to try and read for myself earlier comments last week in the same vein from those supporters of the Riverside site. But for me, I guess I would say that Member Dellatore has really articulated very well the fact that we have very good facts in front of us that are presented to us no differently than other very detailed facts that staff routinely present this board, again, to make informed decisions. It's difficult for me to try and reconcile an interest in looking at the long term, which I certainly appreciate the long term as it relates to the opportunities presented at the Riverside site. But I guess I, you know, given the facts that are presented by staff and the fact that I think that because we're talking about the long term, and for me that's measured not in years but decades, I've yet to hear a good reason why the Pomona site can't offer the same opportunities. I mean, there's a lot that can happen in the course of decades. There's a lot that can change in terms of curricula that's offered. There's a lot that can be offered at both sites in terms of grooming a partnership with ARB, a research partnership. And so the argument that we ought to stay focused on the long term, and in fact, for some, perhaps that's what tips them to the side of supporting the motion, I would respectfully say that for me, that doesn't negate the same opportunity is present for the Pomona site. That combined with my understanding would be a tremendous burden on our staff. Consider relocation in many cases, combined with some of the extraordinary differences, side-by-side differences that have been presented in the staff report and recommendation. Most notably for me, that nearly 80% of staff would have a round-trip commute in excess of 90 minutes for the Riverside site is very compelling. That our employees, if the Riverside site were selected, would incur an additional $6,400 a year in their annual driving costs. These are very compelling points for me. So if we're looking, as Supervisor Joya mentioned, at the short, medium, and long term, for me, the short and medium term it's pretty obvious that there would be much less impact, much less disruption for our employees if the Pomona site is selected. And again, I will end by, again, referencing the fact that I don't think that the selection of the Pomona site somehow negates some of the same opportunities that we would have for long-term enhancement of our research capabilities there as opposed to Riverside. And so for these reasons, I will not be able to support the resolution.
Thank you. We'll turn now to Ms. Takavorian, if you wish to make any comments. You're not required to, but if you would like to, please do. I thought she was on the line, no? Not. All right, we'll check and we'll move on.
I am on the line. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Okay, good.
Can you hear me?
You were on mute before. Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, there you are. Okay, good. Can you hear me? You were on mute before. Hi. Go ahead. Hi. Thank you very much. Sorry about the difficulty with that. I have been able to hear. I have been able to hear everything that's been said, so thanks so much. I wanted to say that I really appreciate everyone's comments and appreciate particularly Mr. Dellatore's comments and his hard work on the committee. I think very good points have been made regarding the lab and the enforcement functions I want to say that I want to reiterate my concerns that I expressed last week about the decision being continued only 1 week to this meeting with, for me anyway, virtually no time to talk to staff or respond, get responses to questions, and that's not staff's fault. It's just the matter of scheduling. It just wasn't enough time, and it certainly wasn't enough time to explore alternatives that I think a number of board members, including myself, raised at the last meeting. I'm sure that I'm at more of a disadvantage as a new member, but I just want to say that I would have appreciated more time to process some of that and to explore some of the alternatives. But we're here today, and I wanted to say that I really appreciated the staff's work to develop the report, and also particularly the staff testimony, which I thought was compelling and very heartfelt. Staff morale and satisfaction is critically important to me, and I think that if this were a decision that impacted the next 5 or 10 years, I would be fine with the Pomona site, because I think it would just affect those staff that are currently in place. But it's not a decision for just the next 5 to 10 years, and I think it is multiple decades. And I do believe that the site at UCR, the attributes are more clearly relevant given the historical relationship, CSIRT, the new medical school, and the fact that the university's been on the edge of cutting edge of air quality research. And I also think that there's a point to be made that Riverside is more of an environmental justice community, and investment in a disadvantaged community, I think, is something that we as a board should think about in terms of allocation of state resources. So that is compelling to me, as well as what I think the university's benefits are. This is one of the most transportation emission polluted areas of California, and I think it would be compelling to have the Air Resources Board there. And as a resident of San Diego, I have to say that having most state or other kinds of resources centered in Los Angeles doesn't really speak to Southern California. And doesn't provide access to San Diego, Orange, Imperial counties. So I think there's that kind of proximity as well. So for those reasons, as well as many that have been cited by fellow board members, I will support the motion. I do hope, however, that we can explore alternatives for staff transition for a period after the facility is built. I've been told that that isn't practical, but I hope we can explore whether it's possible to have some of those transitions so that potentially may have staff in two locations. So I appreciate everyone's consideration, and I'll support the motion.
Oh, thank you for those comments. I will now return to the maker and seconder of the motion to see if they have any additional comments that they would like to make at this time. No. Ms. Berg? Oh. Go ahead.
We're going to twist the chair's neck. Thank you. No, actually, Madam Chair, I'm just anxious to hear your direction and conversation with Mr. Corey in terms of that might work. So I will hold my comments if I have any comment at all after that.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Berg.
Thank you. This has been quite a journey, and as I thought about this on my plane ride up this morning, I thought about the fact that it started out with a vision, and the vision from Chair Nichols, really to create an opportunity to catapult ARB's world-class intellectual expertise with building an equally impressive world-class facility. And over this last week, I too have been struggling between the impacts of staff and making this decision. In looking at making change, we do know that our current facility, we've outgrown it. It will not take us into the next decade, much less several decades. And so in feeling that discomfort, exchanging the current frustration of not having a world-class facility with the disruption that any change would make, whether it was Pomona or Riverside. Understanding that the Riverside site will have more disruption on staff.
And understanding, too, that we as decision makers can appreciate that on paper, but we won't live through that personally. And I'm very mindful of that as I make that decision. To that end, I personally went and visited both sites again last week and had a long conversation with staff. And I wish I could tell you that that really cleared things up for me. Actually, it just, depending on who I was leaving, made it even more apparent how we had two good choices. After all of that, the tipping point for me is towards the vision and is towards the possibility, and I will commit myself, along with the other board members that I have heard from, to help staff, because I will support the resolution for Riverside. And I will be part of the solution to try to find every possible way to not only mitigate, but also to encourage. I go back to my commute this morning. I live in Long Beach and only had to go to the Orange County Airport in bumper-to-bumper traffic, wondering if I would make my flight. And maybe this is an opportunity that in 20 or 30 years, we will address the transportation issues that we have in Southern California that are clearly keeping us gridlocked. And so I will hold on to that as part of our vision as well. So there's no question if the vote is upheld for Riverside. I personally want to challenge Riverside because we have a lot of work in front of us, and we expect more than business as usual, and both for our employees, for ARB, for the state of California, and of all the UCs, as well as our partners, to reach out to our partners of our state universities. And I think it's going to be incumbent on UCR to really help us make this a tremendous reality. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. So I guess it's back to me, and unless you want to come, you're going to wait anyway. Okay, so here's the here's what I think at this point. First of all, this is a very major investment on the part of the state of California in Southern California, and it's great to have an opportunity to be part of making that happen. To my colleagues who don't come from the region, I feel a little bit like I'm in the decision-making way that sometimes the local officials are on a land use decision, you know, looking at the traffic impacts, looking at the jobs impacts, looking at other kind of synergies in the community. And frankly, it was the advantages of Riverside more as a community which came together to make the very strong presentation and commitments that they did that swayed me more than the benefits of the university. Not that I'm unmindful of you know, the benefits of being with the University of California, but that we had our former board member, Ron Loveridge, who I see is in the audience today, who has spent so many years both as mayor and as a South Coast board member working on air quality issues. The reality that Riverside is the epicenter historically of bad air in California, not a distinction that I'm sure they wish to be reminded of, but it is a part of the reality, and that the community as a whole is a place that has done so much to try to address its own problems as well, makes this an appealing opportunity to be a strategic partner for Riverside in this effort.
Clearly, however, the success of ARB's motor vehicle program is a direct result of the work that's done at the Hollenschmidt Laboratory. And while observing that we have many graduates of UC Riverside and Cal Poly, I don't think either one of them is going to stop sending us very fine graduates or providing opportunities to work with. So I think we have to recognize that a move is going to have a serious impact on our programs from the moment we start seriously working on it. And we have to make sure that whatever we're doing in furtherance of this project does not jeopardize our hard-earned respect and our reputation with the industries that we regulate or cost us in any way that we can possibly avoid the retention of our expert staff, because they are at the core of our work. I have a list of ideas and suggestions, which I have, which actually are in writing. I'm just going to read them because I think it's important for everybody to hear, but I assure you that I will give it to Richard to have in writing as well, because I think they could become part of our direction to the executive officer as part of our action here today. So clearly we've heard that we need to move quickly on assuring our employees that we're hearing them and that we're going to work with them as they consider their options for moving. Flexible schedules, teleworking, working non-standard hours, mobile workstations, all of those are issues that have come up. They all have challenges, but they all are things that we have to give serious consideration to, given the horrific traffic that we already deal with. But now that we're thinking about the move, it becomes very timely to start working on them now. The transportation options, needs of our current employees, what we can do as citizens of Southern California to be working with the transit agencies, but also to be working with our employees in terms of helping to overcome additional costs of commuting for them. Is going to have to be a part of the consideration here, as well as the possibility for the enforcement and field staff to be able to work not only from home, as many of them do, but also to be able to have access to vehicles there, and whether there could be courier options, as Mr. Eisenhut mentioned, for fuels and samples and so forth. We already do this between our heavy-duty testing facility and the main laboratory. We have a shuttle going back and forth with samples. It's not ideal, but given the challenges of getting around, it may be that we should be doing more of that on a regular basis. Looking at reimbursable expenses in connection with relocating, as well as temporary living expenses and moving, options for reimbursing relocation staff for staff that are not covered by the professional engineers in California government contract, because that unit has authorization to receive relocation costs, but the others do not. So we're going to have to figure out what we do for the non-represented employees as well. Looking to our new partners with the University of California, as well as the city and county at Riverside, to look at what the amenities are. We heard mention of many of these things at the hearing, but we have to try to put meat on the bones in terms of help and attention for relocation of spousal jobs, the amenities that Chancellor Wilcox mentioned in his handout that included access to child care facilities, adjunct faculty positions. I mean, these are all things that are hypothetical now, and obviously it depends on individuals and their interests and choices, but we need to start figuring out how we're going to make those things real opportunities, as Ms. Berg has stated before. We know that employees are in some cases apprehensive about moving from their relatively safe area where they are comfortable now to the big city of Riverside, and there may be some issues there about security.
I think also looking ahead, as has been mentioned before, this move is going to take place in roughly 5 years. Not everybody will make the move, either because they were already planning to retire or because their career choices focus them in other areas. But in every instance, we need to be enhancing our succession planning, recruiting, things that have come up really through the ARB staff surveys. And again, using ARB staff as a focus group to help develop these ideas, as was done during the earlier stages of this process, is going to be very important, I think. I also want to say, and I've already been contacted by the Chamber of Commerce in Riverside offering to do this, but plans to acquaint the staff early with opportunities that are exist for them in the Riverside area, including schools, housing, et cetera, entertainment opportunities, and so forth. We should really be starting that soon, even if we're not going to be moving right away, just so people have a better idea of what their future opportunities might be. Lastly, in order that this not just languish, I want to see staff reporting back within 60 days about what they've done to implement these suggestions and to put together a real plan for transition. I expect we're going to want to be hearing at least quarterly reports on the progress of this project anyhow, given its importance to ARB. But I think on this particular issue of outreach to the employees, mobilizing whatever staff resources we need from Sacramento to assist in this effort, as well as seeking additional resources if you need them as part of the budget process to not just do designing and building, but also to look at the employee side of this, those are all going to be important concerns. So I have this all down in writing, and you do too, I think. So I don't have to ask you to recite it all back to me, but I think I would appreciate some comments from you, Mr. Corey.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And a theme that came through, coming through loud and clear from the board, is the respect of the appreciation of the extraordinary staff. I mean, that is crystal clear, and you all know it's a lifeblood of the effectiveness of this organization. I heard, you know, significant concerns about the need to mitigate and really minimize disruption, and you called out, Chair, just a few examples in terms of the impact and opportunities, options for dealing with the transportation, the very real transportation issue. I mean, I'll sugarcoat it. It's an issue we're going to have to deal with and take head on and work through. The relocation-related issues, the comment that was made about enforcement and how we can effectively continue to operate that element of the program, which may mean some additional satellite-related activities. And looking at exploring flexible work schedules, that's something that we're going to need to look at as well. But to kind of, to get to the heart of the point that you just made, which was, although breaking ground is still a few years out, there's a lot to do. And although occupancy is targeted for 2020, we'll get to work on this now. And the way we're going to do this is go right back to the amazing team that we have, sit down with them, and their creativity, as well as that of this board, Riverside, and a range of other partners in terms of walking through each of these issues, calling them out, and really beginning to dive in terms of what are our opportunities, what are the options, what are the trade-offs, and develop a plan. And Chair, we'll report back in 60 days the progress on that plan. And as you requested, because I'll need, as a the executive office of this organization, continued interaction and assistance from this board as issues are identified, as also as opportunities. You'll get quarterly reports. How's it going? Are there problems? Are there issues? Areas where I need help or the team needs help. Also be reaching out very quickly to Riverside and the UCR and following up on Chancellor Wilcox's commitment last week's board hearing in terms of number of opportunities that were on the table to fully explore those and work with them, because I think that's part of the overall strategy. So at this point, provide providing, you know, the direction as I understand it going. It's going to be get to work with the team, get to work on an overall timetable while we're working on the facility plan as well.
Thank you. Just as a practical matter, once this board votes, our recommendation, along with all the other materials, are due to the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. That's our next step in this process.
It's correct. It actually is submitted to Department of Finance. Department of Finance will transmit it to the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, which will have 30 days. If they provide comments, we'll be responding to those comments. If there's any issues, I'll be reporting back to the board on that as well. And then the next stop would be back to Department of General Services to begin the site prep and associated transfer, land transfer.
Okay. Do we have any additional comments before we proceed to a roll call?
DeCorey. Chair, I wanted to add, my colleagues here pointed out two additional areas that we will need to follow up on as well. In terms of the follow-up on the site, will include a full CEQA evaluation. We also want to work with Riverside and the commitment in terms of zero net energy and how that could potentially factor in
the
project.
Yes, the need to acquire sufficient land so that we can actually generate our own electricity on site is one of the factors that we've been looking at. All right, seeing no additional...
Yes,
excuse me?
Yes, this is Hector.
Hector, yes, go ahead.
One more data point as this moves forward, which is I'm sure we are going to be losing employees. I'd like to have a running count of how many employees we lose who in their exit interviews or in other ways let us know that they are leaving because of this move.
You know, I'm sure we can keep track of what's going on with our staffing in El Monte. You are perhaps deliberately doing your best to send a message. I would like to say that I hope that that is not the way it's heard, because I realize, having met with the employees, with a group, including the leaders of the laboratory, day before yesterday, that while their feelings are, you know, ranged from concern to, in a few cases, support, but in many, many cases, opposition to the decision, that, you know, our job is to reach out to them and talk to them about the board's thinking. And I think driving a wedge between the staff and the board is the opposite about what we should be trying to do. But we will certainly be keeping track of what's going on with employment in El Monte, and you know, you'll have access to that information. Absolutely. All right.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Dr. Balms?
Aye.
Mr. De La Torre?
No.
Mr. Eisenhut?
Mr. De La Torre?
No.
Senator Flores?
Mr. Eisenhut?
Supervisor Joya?
Aye.
Mrs. Reardon?
Aye.
Supervisor Serna?
No.
Professor Sperling?
Aye.
Ms. Tagvorian?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berg?
Aye.
Chair Nichols?
Aye.
The motion passes 8-3.
Thank you. And thanks to all for an extremely cordial and high-level discussion, and we'll now move on to the next stages. And I think, did anyone sign up for general public comment? Okay, then we can be adjourned. All right.
Thank you very much.